Let's pray. We ask our Lord Jesus Christ to guide our evening session. Let's pray. Okay. We are going to continue our study. Stand against the tide. And this morning we talk about, according to the Old Testament, there are very strong tide against the faith of the Israelites ever since they left Egypt until the end of Old Testament is worshiping the idol. So God was so angry and sent a prophet to warn them. And the prophet of Jeremiah warned them for 23 years something, the same message from morning to the evening. The same message is return to God and repent. Right? If your father keep on tell you the same message for not 23 years, right? 23 days, then you will drive you crazy already. Huh? Now, so 23 years preach the same message, but nobody heeded the warning. So God told Jeremiah, then you have to change the message. Now, you will be captured to Babylon for 70 years. So you have to be submissive, prepared for the captivity. They refused to change themselves from the culture of worshiping idol. So the Ten Commandments, the Second Commandment, the sin is greater than the Seventh Commandment. Seventh Commandment, don't commit adultery. Adultery is sin against our own body. But the Second Commandment, we directly challenge God's existence and God's power and God's glory. So when the Israelites worship the idol under the hill of Sinai, God want to destroy them all. So God does not want us to worship idol. And idol appear in our life in many, many different kind of ways. So we have to keep ourselves away from the idol appear in our life or in our heart from all different means. Because idol will disrupt our relationship with God. Idol, spiritually, is something like an infidelity to our husband, which is God himself. So we have to refrain from this kind of mistake. And this morning we talk about idol is mammon. Except our parents give us a lot of money. Otherwise, to us, mammon represents job because we get the money from our job. It's good to have a good job. It's good to work hard. But if we place a job ahead of our faith, then we are worshiping the idol. There are many different consequences will happen. This is the first one we have to think about. So a lot of people in the world, they treat job the most important thing. But from the faith, we know God is more important and family is more important. And then our own health is more important. So the best dream job is you have time to serve God. You have time to take care of your family, and it will not ruin the faith, the health, and that will be the best dream job. So our concept of value is quite different. If we have good concept, we have strong faith. If I do whatever is right in the eyes of God, and God will take care of my life, we have this kind of faith. then we are able to stand firm against the tide. If you don't have a good right concept, or even I know it in knowledge, but I don't believe it, we still will be carried away by this tide. Or put job first. The second is achievement. Achievement in the worldly people, they try to demonstrate that they can achieve something. And that kind of feeling, feeling very useful and feeling of very outstanding and feeling of I'm somebody, that feeling will drive a person to pursue another achievement, from achievement to another achievement, and until you retire or until you die. But we understand that all that kind of feeling of achievement eventually is going to fade. All of that, when you turn back, you cannot carry that away. But if God wants us to move to a higher position or to achieve something, you are going to see a lot of coincidence happen. The opportunity keep on coming. Then without your own planning, you keep on hiking up and up, just like Daniel and Joseph. So trade the life, the faith for job, trade our faith for achievement, spiritually speaking, it's not worth it. Really, it's not worth it. Then the third one, worship the idol. What is the idol? Idol is we ourselves become idol. So what does that mean? When we take place, or we take the position of God himself, we ourselves become idol. Believe myself more than I believe in God. That means I idolize myself, right? When we think about everything based on my center instead of based on God's center, then we become idol. Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. Verse 1. The words of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus said the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods, in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man, and not a god. Although you set your heart as the heart of gods, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasures. And verse 5, and by your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches. And your heart is lifted up because of your riches. So verse 1 to verse 5 talk about the king of Tyre sit on the seat of God. And he talk like God. How come a human being will think and talk like God? The first is because the true God is invisible. If everyone who witnessed the true God, everyone will bow down on the ground. Because the true God is so great, so holy, and so powerful, just like in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, when Isaiah witnessed how seraphim worshiping God in the spiritual temple. Oh, it's so powerful. When the seraphim say, holy, 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 right? And God sit on the throne, high above everything. And his robe covers the temple. And then when seraphim is shouting, holy, 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 all the earth was shaken. The temple was shaken. In that right moment, all of a sudden he realized, I'm nothing. I'm a sinner. So since most of people, we cannot see the invisible God because God is spiritual. So we only see the mundane human being. And when we see the human being, then we start to compare. I can do this, you cannot do it. I can achieve this, you cannot achieve that. I can earn the money, you cannot earn the money. I can understand this, you cannot understand this. So after we make a lot of comparison with everybody, all of a sudden, we feel that we are so outstanding. It's incomparable. So in our heart, we already promote ourselves into the position of God. That exactly is the king of Tyre. Because Tyre was a commercial harbor city. And through the wisdom of doing the trade, so they earned a lot of money, silver, gold, and precious stone. Tyre looked into the king, looked into his achievement, all of a sudden he felt, nobody can compare me. So he considered himself like God. And so verse 6 says, you are not God, you are nothing but human being. So, just like the king of Nebuchadnezzar, right? One day he looked into the Babylon city. The Babylon city, the wall is very tall. And according to some record, right, the chariot can run on top of the wall. And six chariots can run next to each other, the whole city. So he was so pride about himself, right? And start to boast about himself. Do you know, the king of Nebuchadnezzar, I can overcome the world. I can build up so magnificent city, right? Talk like God. So human being is human being. We are limited. But it's so easy then when we know better than others, our capability is stronger than others, we achieve more than others, then we start to think about like God. So this is a common trait, common trend in the world. We have to understand, right? We are created by God. So our life can only be perfect and can only live a very good life when we live together peacefully with God. But when we try to claim autonomy from God, that will be the problem of our life, beginning of the problem of our life. So you see, if you look into the statistic, in the United States, those who claim to be a Christian, especially in the last decades, keep on dropping. And this dropping rate is very, very high. So this is a very alarming sign that people become more secular. How come they become more secular? Because they start to live a life with no God. So this is the tide. And once no God, we think about everything. Whether it's right, it's wrong, all based on my thinking. So we trust our own reason. We elevate our reason above everything. If I cannot understand it, then it's wrong. If I think it's right, then it's right. Oh. So when we think about whatever we think is right, then almost we play the role like God. So no wonder if we look into the situation in United States, right? The more conservative state, all in central area, in the northeast region or in the west region, is more liberal. But if you look deeper into it, why? It's because of the school. Where there is a more prominent school, it tends more liberal and become more secular. In the East Coast and West Coast. So when people try to promote their own ration, and to a point that they trust their ration more than they trust on God, and that itself put ourselves on the seat of being a God. And this is a very powerful orderly trend. So we have to be very careful not to be influenced by this orderly trend. So if we look into the so-called the counseling book, if you go to the bookstore, the counseling book can be divided into two parts. The first part is called God-centered. The second part is human-centered. And what's the difference? The human-centered counseling means you, human being, you have the potential to resolve your own problem. So counseling just that you understand your own potential and to resolve your own problem. It sounds very beautiful, but it's impossible. How come it's impossible? Because the godly counseling tells us, we, human beings, we are ignorant about God's principle, how to live our life. We are controlled by the sinful nature. And these two factors put it together, we are unable to resolve our own problem. Only when we are enlightened by God, we are able to understand God's principle, and we can change our life back to the track of God's principle. And then there will be a solution to our problem. The second, how about human sinful nature? We only receive Holy Spirit through the help of the Holy Spirit, then we can transform our human sinful nature with the divine nature. This is put ourselves into the position of God. It's become a very powerful tide. In many different kind of forms. There is a trend, a tide called New Age. The New Age movement just tell people that when you live up to your potential, you will be very successful. When you live up to your potential, your problem can be resolved. They all emphasize on self. You don't need God. Then you can be a better being if you put more effort. And that kind of belief is different from the teaching of the Bible. How can we counter with this kind of thought? Now, let's look into Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15. 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You weakened the nation. 13, for you have said in your heart, I will descend into the heaven. And then I will exalt my throne above the star of God. And I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. Verse 14, I will ascend above the height of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. If we come from verse 13 to 14, totally how many eyes? 13 to 14, how many eyes? How many eyes? At least five eyes. Oh, what does that mean? Right. When the angel emphasized himself, I, then in his heart, he already exalted himself before God. So we have to be very careful. When we think everything based on our self-center, that probably is a sign that we are very far away from God. That probably is a sign we don't consider God as our Lord. Oh. When we really consider God is our Lord, then our thinking will change from I into God. Oh. What God wants me to do? Right? What is God's plan? How can I please God? How can I glorify the name of God? Oh. So we change I into God means our life is God-centered. If we just take away God and everything is I, and we put ourselves into the position of God. Oh. Now we look into the book of James. The book of James. James chapter 4, verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. Oh, let's read and to see what's wrong with this businessman. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Verse 14. Whereas you do not know that what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. Verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Verse 16. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting are evil. Sometimes we consider I'm a very good person, right? I'm a very nice person. A lot of time I try to help other people. But if we put ourselves into this passage, you talk about such kind of boast is arrogant. And all this kind of boasting are evil. Then all of a sudden we find out, we just repeat the same mistake every day. Now, this businessman actually very smart how to do the planning. But in his planning, what's the problem? He just kicked God aside, right? You have no part with me, right? He is my future. I control my own future. Only when I need you, I call you, then you come. Right? If I don't need you, just stay aside. Oh. So God is just like what? God just like a spare tire. Do you know you are looking for a spare tire? Where is the spare tire? Spare tire is in the trunk. After you open the trunk, you still cannot see it, right? You have to open a cover and you see, spare tire is here. So where is God? God is a spare tire in the daily life. You cannot see it. When you talk, you can never mention about God. Only one day you need it and you find it, right? This is a watery trend, right? But we have to elevate God into his original position. Yes, we can plan. You can plan what school you want to study. You can plan what kind of career you want to engage. You can plan where you're going to live. But after the planning, that's not finalized. We need to leave a space for God to change. Oh, then we knelt down, God, you are my Lord. Oh, you know my future. You are in control of my future, right? Oh, if it is according to your will, please help and fulfill your will. If it is not according to your will, please stop it or let me know it. I'm waiting to be changed by you. Oh, so we use this kind of attitude to plan our future. And we really put God into the position of God. Oh, then if we put it aside, just do ahead. I don't care about God. Or even I care about God, right? After I make decision, I want to turn right and keep on praying, God, if you really love me, help me turn the right. If I turn left, it means you don't love me. All right? That means God become our servant. Oh, he did not deserve the position he supposed to deserve. Oh. So this is a worldly trend. Oh. Not really respect God. Oh. We put ourselves on top of God's will and God's position. This is a very common worldly trend. Huh? Now we look into another one. Huh? Let's look into the book of Judges. Number four. Huh? Numbers 21. Numbers 21. Verse 6 and verse 8 and verse 9. Number 21, verse 6. So the Lord sends a fiery serpent among the people, and they bite the people, and many of them, of the people of Israel, die. And then, verse 8. And then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on the pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, then look at it, it shall live. Verse 9, so Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on the pole. And so it was. Because the Israelites complained, so God allowed the serpent to go in them to bite them, and some of the people just died. And later on, God commanded them to make a bronze serpent. Whenever you look, you are bitten by the fire serpent, you look into the bronze serpent, then you will survive. Oh. And later on, that bronze serpent, they continue to worship that bronze serpent. Oh. We do read 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4. 2 Kings. Chapter 18, verse 4. When it's the time of Hezekiah, right? He destroyed a lot of altar offering to the idol. And then one thing, he destroyed the bronze serpent. How come he destroyed the bronze serpent? Because they start to burn the incense and worship the bronze serpent. Right? Bronze serpent was commanded by God to set up in the time of Moses to release them from death. Only in that particular moment, the bronze serpent become a means God conveys his grace to the Israelite. And when that period passed, they continue to worship that bronze serpent. And that bronze serpent itself become an idol. Oh, because they worship like God. It actually is not God. It only God used that bronze serpent to convey the grace. Oh. So what does that really mean? In the book of John chapter 3, of course, that bronze serpent represents Jesus Christ. He brings us salvation. Oh. But in another meaning, is we can consider the bronze serpent as the instrument used by God. So there is a hymn singing the channel of blessing, right? The channel of the blessing. We can be the channel of the of God's blessing. On the one hand, we connect to God. On the other hand, we connect to other people or other family. So through our intersection and through our presence to a family who suffer, the God's grace can come to that family. Just like Joseph, when he was sold into Potiphar's family, even the Potiphar can witness the blessing of God come to his family. So Joseph becomes the channel of blessing. But Joseph becomes the channel of blessing doesn't mean Joseph is God himself. He is only an instrument, a vessel, a means used by God to convey his blessing. So we have to understand in the church, God may use some people mightily to convey God's blessing. But people is only the instrument of God. People is not God himself. So through the people participate in God's ministry, we can be edified. But still, we should worship God. We should not worship people. So this is a very common trend in the other church, in not TJC. In other church, if you look into, they have any evangelical event or open crusade, they always use the name of the people, try to attract people. Tonight, what is the speaker? And what is the background of the speaker? Try to use the speaker and the background of the speaker to attract the people. But in our church, we don't do this way. The worker is only the instrument of God. And the message is the message from the Bible. So it is the message who attracted us. It's not the eloquency, or it is not the people who attract to the church. So in our church, we believe in TJC. It's because of belief of the TJC. It's not because any person will remain in the TJC. So we have to understand that. So we look into the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Verse 6. Chapter 34, verse 6. When Moses died, who buried him? Who buried him? God buried Moses, right? And verse 6, the later part, nobody knew where Moses was buried. How come? How come nobody knew Moses was buried? You know, if you visit the Red Square in Moscow, you can see the dead body of which one? Lenin. Lenin, right? Or you can visit the Beijing, you can see the dead body of Mao Zedong, right? Even though they were dead, but it's still people want him to be memorized. So human nature tends to worship people as idol. So God knows this kind of weakness because Moses really contributed the whole life, right? Especially the later part of his life for the ministry of God. Through him, God had exercised a lot of power. So the Red Sea divided, the manna come from heaven, the rock froze the water. So he has done a lot of work God used him to done a lot of work. But Moses is still a human being. So God buried him. Nobody knows where he was buried to prevent people worshiping him in his tomb. So what does that mean today? Of course, the worker of God, we have to respect the worker of God because they are the person used by God. But respect the worker of God doesn't mean we idolize the person. So in our church, the culture is quite different from what happened in among the Christianity. We don't emphasize particular person in the church. So we emphasize a lot of teamwork. If anyone, anything accomplished, it's because of a team. So we try to avoid one person and to be idolized. And in the time of 1 Corinthians, even more serious, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 12. Now, I say this, that each of you say, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollo, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. So Paul, Apollo, or Peter, they are all very gifted workers. They've done a lot of good work for God. In the initial stage of apostolic church, they really, God used them mightily and contribute a lot of effort to build up the church. But when they start to say, I am of Paul, then it's already totally wrong. They idolize the people. They elevate the people above them and say, I belong to them. And then verse 13, Paul himself was very spiritual. So he asked a few questions to resolve the problem. 13. Is Christ divided? Of course not. So since Christ is not divided, the church is not divided, so we should not say, I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollo. The second one, was Paul crucified for you? Of course not. It's Jesus Christ crucified you. You are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, not by the blood of Paul. So since Jesus redeemed us, we belong to Jesus. We don't belong to Paul. And then the next question, were you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. We baptized in the name of Jesus. We baptized into the death of Jesus, not into Paul. So all these three questions just answer all the questions. So in the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, now you can see the order in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 21, 22, 23. Okay, here say, Paul and Apollo is all belong to you, and then you belong to Christ, and Christ belong to God. So worker belong to members, to serve the members, and member belong to Christ, Christ belong to God, and this is the order. It's not the member belong to worker, worker belong to Christ, and Christ belong to God. Oh, so in the church, if we understand the order, yes, we respect the worker of God, but we will never, because of worker, then church become divided. We will be united under the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what the trend happened. And in Judges chapter 8, in Judges chapter 8, verse 27. Judges chapter 8. Verse 27. Then Gideon made it into an ephod and set it up in his city, Ophrah. And all Israel played the harlot with it there. It became a snare, became a trap to Gideon and his house. We know that Gideon did the Israelite fighting a victorious fight, battle. So they looted a lot of silver and gold. And they want ask Gideon to be their king. Gideon did not want to become their king. But later on, Gideon commanded them to use the silver and gold to make a holy cross. This holy cross is called ephod. You know, the high priest, when they go into the temple of Holy of Holiness, they have to put on the holy cross. So if they did not put on the holy cross, they were unable to go into it. If they did not put on the holy cross, the sacred cross, they go into it, they will be dead. But this holy cross, ephod, made of the silver and gold, they rooted from the battlefield. So every time they look into the holy cross, they start to remember Gideon. So even though it's a holy cross, but it might try to remember Gideon. So it become a trap of Gideon. So what does that mean? When we have done a good work for the church, after the work finished, if nobody remember me, what I have done for the church, that will be the best. So when we do the holy work, we should not have a mentality, I want people to know what I have done for him. I want people to remember, today the RE become this kind of good, it's because of me, right? Today the church becomes so good, it's because of me. We don't want to do that. Because this is probably the worldly organization do that. If you visit every hospital, in the entrance of the visitor hall, right, reception, you always can see many, many different kind of portrait being hanged there. Why? They are the person who contribute a lot of effort to still have 2 minutes to build up that hospital, right? So that is to remember of that. But when we come to the church, we only remember God's grace. And people is only the instrument. So we don't memorize people's effort. So John the Baptist say, I am only a voice in the wilderness. Voice is to convey a message. And after the message be conveyed, you cannot see it. Right. So the best servitude is we accomplish our work and give the credit to God. Nobody remember me, it's fine. Because we are not doing for the remembrance of others. When we do the servitude, we have to avoid the trend, the tide in the world. We do everything. We know we want people to remember us. We want people to appreciate us. If nobody remembers us, nobody appreciates us, next time I'm not going to do it. This is not the attitude we do it in the church. Okay, that's pretty inside. Amen. We have 5 minutes break.